Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And it were very funny.
Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
I'm Leor Phillips, host of This Must Be the Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. We release three interviews every single week, a new interview with an artist on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if that's something that interests you, if you're a big music nerd, a music geek, and you love hearing about the process, that's a good opportunity right now to subscribe to the series. And we'll do all the work for you, delivering it straight from Apple Podcast or Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast from. Please do hit that subscribe as we get started here. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today my guest, Patterson Hood of the Drive-By Truckers. The Drive-By Truckers have a brand new record called The Unraveling. Now, in a way, this follows up their 2016 record called American Band, a record that was released and recorded around the time that, Trump was being elected, and they could kind of see what was possible to be happening in the country. Now that stuff has happened, so now we get The Unraveling. This is a record in real time, which is actually, as Patterson will tell you, a little bit different from the band. Yes, they have a long history about writing political songs or songs about injustices, but not so in real time as The Unraveling takes place. So we're going to hear about that process and especially the themes, which goes from school shootings to a song called Babies in Cages, heroin again, Rosemary with a Bible and a gun, and thoughts and prayers. I probably don't even have to explain to you what's happening in those songs because the titles paint a very clear picture. So yes, Patterson and I are going to get very political. We're going to be talking about what those moments in history were like to become songs. We'll specifically hear about kind of the center post of the entire record is a track called 21st Century USA, which was a big turning point in his writing for this album. And Thoughts and Prayers, while does focus on school shootings, also slides in some flat earthers as well. A bit of levity, even unintentionally, in a very heavy record. Outside of all that, we'll also hear about recording the record, which was actually a lot of fun, as he'll tell you. They went down to Memphis, got in Sam Phillips' old studio with all the vintage gear, recorded it live like it was the old days. And that part's really fun to hear about, actually. So let's jump into this, discussing the record, The Unraveling. It's Kyle Meredith with Drive-By Truckers.
Hey, how you doing?
Man, The Unraveling, it's huge. It's an amazing record. It's what do you say about a record like this? Because you don't want to say, "Oh man, I love these songs because they're so fun." Because you know, I love listening to this, but it's not. I'm not sure how to how to compliment a record like this.
Yeah, I hope next time we make a record, that's what people say. It's like, "God damn, Drive-By Truckers are fun," you know. Because we are fun. We're a fun band. It's our show's kind of infamously fun. And our songs have always skewed towards dark. And so there's always been a bit of that contrast between, you know, the dark songs and sometimes pretty dark albums and finding the joy in playing really loud and loose, you know, as a live band, which we've been on the road a really long time. And it's a pretty smoking, rocking show as it morphs and evolves, you know, from record to record and sometimes night to night. But I don't know. I mean, this record's darker. You know, it's a dark time. We're living in a crazy, you know, I don't know if you've noticed. I don't know if you ever read the news or anything, but things are really screwed up.
Yeah, they are.
And that's my radio edit version.
But, I can hear it. I can hear you wanting to say it. I could.
Yeah, you know, I caught myself in the nick of time. But good grief, you know, and you're our last hope, Democrats. Oh my God, we're so screwed, you know. Man. And you know, this being the Iowa caucus. I mean, oh my God, you know, what are we going to do? But it's a crazy time. And you know, in all seriousness, everything is kind of upside down and inside out. And these times have, you know, caused rifts in friendships and families, even. The last thing I really wanted to do was write songs about it, to be totally honest. And I wrote a bunch of stuff leading up to the songs that ended up being this record that were about some other things and all that, but it honestly kind of felt cowardly and wrong to not talk about what was really on my mind. And a lot of these songs were inspired directly. A lot of the songs I wrote were inspired directly by conversations I had with my children who aren't really even children anymore. My daughter's a teenager and really about to be 15 in a few days, you know? And so we have a lot of very hardcore conversations around the house and in the car, and they have a lot of concerns about things. And a lot of the songs kind of came as a direct response to things that we talked about.
It's not like it's the first time you've written about this stuff either in various ways, politics or injustices or whatever. But,
but for sure.
Does it feel different this time about how you're having to write about it?
Yeah, it does feel different this time. And I mean, our records have always dealt with stuff that, you know, there's always been a political aspect to what we do. I mean, Southern Rock Opera was certainly a very political record, you know, talking about post-Civil Rights South and George Wallace and all of that. And Dirty South paralleled what was going on in the early 2000s, post-9/11, during the, you know, lead up in the Iraq War and Afghanistan War and Bush's policies and, you know, and kind of paralleling those with things that kind of had their start in the Reagan years, and particularly the song Putting People on the Moon. But this record and the last record have been set in the very contemporary now. And it's just, a, you know, I mean, they're taking little kids away from their parents and putting them in cages. I mean, it's hard to wrap your head around, you know, America. We're supposed to be like, we at least like to pretend that we're like good guys in these various stories and plot lines. And it's getting harder and harder to look yourself in the mirror and feel that way at this point in time with what all we're doing. You know, I mean, my kids have lockdown drills in their schools and they come home terrified, you know, and I had a very uncomfortable conversation with my son about the led directly to the song Babies in Cages, about, you know, his fears that someone would take him away from his mother and I. And answering that and calming his fears, we then had to have the discussion about why he didn't really have to be scared of that. And that was a terrible, hard conversation to have, explaining that, you know, the fact that we're of Anglo descent and his white skin, he wasn't in danger of that. And, you know, the look on his face trying to wrap his head around that, because he was not really aware of that kind of thing. And so all of those types of things led, you know, it's like, to me, this record's maybe the most personal record we've ever made. I mean, to me, it's people talk about it being a political record. To me, it's a very personal record because of how involved my feelings with my family are tied in with these songs.
You know, I'll go back to some of the stuff that you were talking about there too, especially with some of your back catalog, because as it's been told many times, you know, here you are, Drive-By Truckers are, you know, a Southern rock band for more or less for generalization purposes right here. But to be left-leaning, progressive speaking in the South isn't anything that's new to you all. But, you know, also being historians, I mean, it's all backwards, right? And it's all been backwards for a long time because, you know, even now as we try to grasp hardworking people voting against their better selves. But I wonder, you know, from your point of view, at least from mine, you know, so I'm a little bit further north in Kentucky, but the opposition, and I say the opposition as in me and you, it's starting to finally sound louder than normal, or at least harder to mute anyway.
I hope so. And I like hearing that coming from Kentucky. And, you know, it certainly is getting louder in Georgia at the same time with the way districts are drawn and all of that. It's and also just how hard they're able to make it for a lot of people who feel the way we do to vote, you know, as far as closing down polling places in predominantly Black and Hispanic districts and wiping names off of voting lists and things like that. I mean, there's, you know, there's all kinds of dirty trickery at play. And so it's getting harder and harder for, even if our voices are getting louder, it's getting harder and harder for it to be heard.
And as a songwriter, I mean, it seems like there's so much to tackle. I mean, I feel like you could do an entire concept record on any of the ideas that you focused on in any one specific song on this new record,
oh,
on
God,
The Unraveling.
I hope not. I'm really ready not to, you know, and I would love for it to be something that we dabble in the future and not something that we're so immersed in the future. But we've got to, you know, we've got to get over this hump. This year is a very important, I know they say that every election year, there's someone that stands and says, this is the most important election,
right,
of our time or of all time or whatever. But it's pretty hard to deny the importance of this election or the magnitude of what a second term for this president would be like in terms of him. I mean, he likes to act like he has a mandate with his very meager victory last time that was dependent on, he lost by 3 million votes but won the Electoral College, and he treated that like a mandate. So you can really only imagine what a re-election, what a second term would look like.
Right.
And you know, this being Kentucky, there is no downplaying how vital Kentucky is. I don't even know if it's really truly in play, but it certainly needs to be, you know, because so many of the things that are wrong right now in our country are directly related to Senator McConnell.
Absolutely.
So he needs to be taken down. He needs to lose. And that is vitally important. The Obama presidency was so stifled. I mean, we didn't even get our Supreme Court. We didn't even get a hearing,
right,
for a really moderate Supreme Court pick, because Obama's pick was, you know, not a far left pick. That was a attempt at playing ball picking someone very mainstream right down the middle, and he didn't even get a hearing. And that's, you know, I believe unprecedented. It's certainly unprecedented in my lifetime, you know, and I've studied politics since I was a little boy. I have kept up. It's, you know, not being particularly interested in sports, politics was always kind of my sport. And so I've followed it since I was, you know, literally 8 or 9 years old. And I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for a while, we used to think maybe that Dick Cheney was, you know, the most evil thing that happened to the country. But I think McConnell has really given him a really good game, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
That's probably an easy seg into a song like 21st Century USA, since that's exactly where we are and what we're looking at here. But as I read, like, that was also a big turning point in how you wrote this record and what you went after, right?
It was. I was, for the longest time, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I was writing some songs that just didn't really feel like where it felt like the band was stepping away from where we were and what we've been saying. And it felt dishonest and even a little cowardly. But at the same time, you know, I was really proud of American Band, that album. And I didn't want to do it the disservice of basically writing another one. So I couldn't quite figure out where that left me. I wrote 21st Century USA on the road during tour, stopped at a Holiday Inn Express, an off-ramp on I-90 just outside of Gillette, Wyoming. And we were all walking to this Mexican restaurant a couple of blocks away. And I don't know, you know, I've been writing songs since I was 8. I still don't really understand where they come from or why some things become a song. But by the time I got to the restaurant, I was writing the first verse on a napkin. And as soon as I ate, I ran back to the room and finished the song really quickly. And when I wrote that song, particularly the third verse, the last verse of it, I thought, okay, I found my voice. I know what this record is. It's a more personal look at where we're at. And so it kind of opened floodgates. And over the next 3 months, I wrote pretty much the majority of the songs that I wrote for this album were written right in that period.
There's something about that song, maybe against all the other songs on there, which, you know, a lot of the other songs, like, I mean, it's all dark, but obviously, but, you know, they tend to center in on specific bleak situations. 21st Century USA, as dark as it is and as terrifying as some of the lines are in that, it's also the one song that I think shows a little bit of hope, like it doesn't have to be like this. Like the other stuff has already happened, but
and
here's your chance out.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like that. I mean, I spend more time on the road than most people on earth. I mean, our band has been on tour basically almost nonstop since 1997. And last year we played less shows than we've played since 97. And we still came in at somewhere around hooking towards 70 shows. And I mean, that's the first time we've been like really under 100 shows in all that time. There have been years when we played 200, 250 shows. And counting days off that you're still on the road in some town in a motel, that's a lot of time out among a lot of people all over the country, and not just on the East Coast and the West Coast, but, you know, in Kansas and Kentucky and all over in Gillette, Wyoming, you know, although honestly, I still haven't been to Gillette, Wyoming. I've just been to an off-ramp, but that was kind of part of the point too, is all the off-ramps, no matter where you are, they all look alike. There's really not a dime's difference between an off-ramp in Wyoming and an off-ramp in Alabama and an off-ramp in rural Oregon or wherever you are. You know, the graffiti in truck stops is almost always the same. And I meet people and I'm always amazed at the kindness of strangers and how many just fine people I meet all over the country in red states and blue states and urban and rural and all the different types of places we are. People still, I still like feel like there is overall a fundamental goodness in people, which just makes it even harder for me to wrap my head around why people who I think are often well-meaning and trying to, you know, do what they feel is right for their families or whatever, end up coming to some of the conclusions they do in the voting booth.
I mean, or become flat earthers, as you point out in Thoughts and Prayers, which, by the way, that's a fun moment in another dark song, but also it's the maybe the biggest palm smack forehead moments on Earth at the moment? Like, of all the stupid things, we're talking about flat earthers.
Right. When I wrote that song, you know, that song was written, of course, on the days surrounding, I can't even remember which one. I mean, one of the many horrific mass shooting events that happen over and over and over. And the song basically kind of wrote itself, you know, because of the anger at seeing people who have the power to at least attempt to try to enact some kind of change, just help. You know, it's like no pragmatic person really sees a near future where anyone's going to take everyone's guns away, right, for Christ's sake.
Right.
But that don't mean that you can't tighten it up. I mean, the Brady Bill did good. And you can look at a rise in those types of things happening. You know, the Brady Bill was a watered down small step, but it helped. It was a small step in the right direction. And nullifying that, which, by the way, you know, came under President Reagan. And so, you know, nullifying the Brady Bill and all of the hundreds of times that things like that have happened since. And it all adds up to, and then just say, well, we offer our thoughts and prayers. And so I'm writing the song, and right at the exact moment, the week that I was writing that song, there was a situation with a flat earther who, like, I guess, went up into some kind of a high-flying thing and crap, you know. It was like something on the news a couple of years ago, right when I wrote that song, that involved that, and it just fit too perfect into the song not to use.
Even if it's not a happy moment, there's some kind of at least pressure release in that moment. I don't know. I guess we all just rolled our eyes, or at least I did.
Right, for sure.
I don't want the music to take a backseat on this. You know, there's so much attention that is paid to these lyrics, and they are very important lyrics. But I do wonder if that had its own story about how you approach this record with the music, because even like a song like Baby in Cages, like, the music fits such a mood in that song.
Yeah, you know, the band as it stands, this lineup of the band, which has been in place now for about 8 years, plays so well with each other, and everybody is so tuned in to playing the songs and only doing what brings out what's best for the song. You know, there's nobody showboating at any point in time in this band. And I really love the way everybody played in the studio making this record. And, you know, we kind of approach it the way people who score films do. You know, we're kind of scoring these lyrics like you would score a scene in a film, and trying to bring out the emotion of that the lyrics are throwing up in the air, trying to find a way to kind of really, you know, play off of that and turn that into really a big part of the piece. And, you know, most of these songs, we cut this record in 7 days in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Sam Phillips Recording Service, which is the studio that Sam Phillips built in like 1961, 62, right after he sold Sun. And he basically took his money and built his dream studio. It was like state of the art for its time. And Sam was kind of a mad genius with these. He had this whole idea about echo and echo chambers and reverbs and how to use it in records. You know, the slapback effect on those early Sun records was such a big part of the sound of those early Elvis and Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins records. And he was kind of felt like it was time to take that to the next level. And so when he built that studio, he designed and built three different sized echo chambers into the actual building, all three of which have been lovingly restored back to, you know, 1962 period perfect. So we had the best time playing around with that, with, you know, that old ancient gear and all those great old tube compressors and the echo chambers. And we basically cut almost everything live in the studio, you know, overdub here or there. And there was one song that was kind of an exception to that, because we actually spent a long time building Grievance Merchants, because we wanted it to sound sonically different in a way that kind of necessitated recording it in a different way. But the rest of it was basically live, all of us playing on the floor. And I think we were kind of inspired by the room as well as by, you know, what each other was doing.
You can tell that the love went into that. I mean, it's a huge sounding record. and every bit of the way. Obviously, I'm a fan of it, regardless of the lyrics that we're going to be singing along to at these live shows and however we sing along to these. But because I find myself just humming Armageddon's Back in Town, you know, as if it were raindrops falling on my head. So, you know, I think that's a compliment as a songwriter.
Hey, thank you. As a Burt Bacharach fan, thank you.
Anytime. Patterson, it has been an absolute pleasure and an honor talking to you. We are such big fans of you over here and love everything that you all have given. So once again, thanks for this music and thank you for the call today.
Man, and I hope everybody gets out and, you know, is registered to vote and, you know, let's take back Kentucky.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's do it, people. We can do it, you know. All right. Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
You too, man. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
My thanks, Patterson Hood. The new Drive-By Truckers record is called The Unraveling, and it's available now. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. If you haven't already, I do hope you subscribe to the series. Again, we have new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a great way to keep up with artists or learn about new artists that you don't know about across so many different genres. So you can subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, Acast, wherever you get your podcast from. And hopefully even you'll give a chance to leave the series a review and give us a rating as well. That's always a huge help. After that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews too. Again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on any social media platform at Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.